Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Hey, welcome back. 51551 is the text this morning. Now, you might remember last week I was chatting here about my own experience with a little bit of surgery to remove basal cell carcinoma. Very mild skin cancer, and I want to point that out again. Since then, we've loads of messages actually from people with very similar experiences. It is very common, and skin cancer is the most common form of cancer in Ireland. There are 11,000 cases diagnosed every year. And so we thought we'd give you a little bit of information on what to do to protect your skin, and particularly because we're coming into a week where there's lots of sunny weather being forecast, which is rare in the summer we've had so far. And from our Sligo studio, Celine Daly is going to be chatting to us. She's a dermatology nurse. But I want to come to Paul Darby first of all. He's in studio. Welcome, Paul. Yes, and he's had his own experience. You're from Ballybuffet, are you?
Ballybuffet, Donegal.
That's now very inland Donegal.
It is.
Lesser spotted in some ways.
Aye.
Home of Finn Harps.
Home of Finn Harps, yeah.
A proud place. Yeah. East of Strabane. I mean, west of Strabane, isn't it?
Don't know. I wouldn't know that now. But, home of Finn Harps.
You don't even see Tyrone. Very good.
We're 20 minutes from the ball.
And just a little reminder again, Oliver at RTE.ie, if you've got any questions you want for a dermatology nurse, have a wee think there as well. So you're a young fella, Paul.
Yeah, well, 33.
No,
I'm coming 34 now, so. Yeah,
that's young.
Still young for getting skin cancer. Like,
it is. And tell us what you did for a living, because you're outside.
Handyman now, but I was roofing for a couple of years. I was always outdoor. Like, you know, I've jumped different jobs, like, say, building or groundworks and stuff. So I've always been outdoor, but I'm a handyman right now, so I do a lot of roofing and painting, and I'm always outdoor, like.
Always outdoor. And, yeah. But in Ireland, you didn't go abroad?
Oh, in Ireland? No, I've never been abroad. And holiday-wise, like, but no, never. Yeah. You know, never worked abroad for a long period of time.
As a kid, were you in a farm or something that would have had
no,
to?
No,
so the outdoors is when you became, I suppose.
It has to be.
Mid-teens, was it?
13, 14, I've been kind of working outdoors from. Sound, you know, right. What I mean? So, yeah, I started groundworks at 15 years old, so I've been working from then.
Working on construction sites the whole time. You're outside the whole time. And in those days, you're kind of just like.
There were better summers back then.
you were looking forward to getting the tan, probably.
Exactly. You never thought about it, like getting burnt or anything, you thought. I used to think getting burnt was great because you would go brown after it, but
that's right.
That's skin damage, brilliant. Obviously, it's not healthy. Like,
yeah, but. So just skin reacting. So how did you know then there was an issue for you?
I noticed it in December, but it was a wee freckle on my ear, and then months went on, and then
December just gone.
December last, yeah. And I noticed it, but I was back boxing at the time, so I was back boxing before Christmas, and I got hit in the ear, and I thought, right, maybe it's a wee mark, you know, just I didn't know, and. A couple of months passed, but someone said to me, a friend of mine says, that could be melanoma, what's that in your ear and stuff like that. And I started Googling it then, as you do, like, and
puts the fear in you, but the
pattern and stuff did come up exactly like the ones on, you know. I know.
What did it look like?
It was a wee, they reckon it's like a duck shape pattern, like it's an odd pattern, like they reckon if it's a circle and you can over, you know, the even half. Okay. Then it's safe enough. Well, not always, but it's not bad. But when it's a wee jaggy edges and stuff,
right,
and
the pattern, irregular pattern,
yeah,
right.
And the color and the size, everything kind of was, you know, the big signs of melanoma.
But you were kind of ignoring it until your friend.
I was ignoring it. I wasn't. I'm well bad at going to doctors in general. Like, you know, it's a typical man, I suppose.
yeah.
But and then as time went on, then I started asking more people. Like, you know, when I was asking, do you think that's bad? And every person was like, that's not great if you didn't have it before. Doesn't look great. And I booked the doctor's appointment and he was worried, like, he kind of knew, he didn't want to say obviously there and then, but
right,
because you can't guarantee it, but he says everything they look for I had, so yeah.
He referred you for
he referred me to Roscommon, the plastic surgeon team.
Okay.
And
was it, were you given an emergency appointment initially?
Yeah, emergency appointment, because as I say, the pattern, the size, the shape, the colour, everything was just.
Then that didn't require. Did you, that mean you would go to A&E or what does? No.
Oh, I was straight on to plastic surgeons.
Oh, were you?
Okay. And our plastics.
How quickly
in
after your GP?
2 weeks, I think it was.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. That's an emergency in Ireland.
I know.
But the plastic surgeons are the people who take it out. Was a biopsy before that or no?
No,
straight?
they took it out. Like, okay. And even I think when they're taken out, they kind of have an idea if it looks like cancer or whatever. But she did say, they were sending for a biopsy, and they didn't want to do the skin graft from the left ear over the right ear yet because. In case they had to take more out, which was the case. They had to go further again. So, I got the skin. I think I was walking around 7-8 weeks with bandages on my ears. overall the whole process.
Like, so they so they're waiting for the results.
They're waiting for the results, which was maybe 3 weeks. By the time I got word back, and then I got a phone call just saying, right, you have to come up tomorrow. So it's a scary experience, like, you know, and they can't tell you anything over the phone, and you're thinking the worst. You're thinking, it's everywhere, like it's spread through my body and stuff like that. So it is scary, like.
Because melanoma is the dangerous skin cancer that can spread into your body. Whereas the wee one I had is just basal cell carcinoma. It grows roots in under your skin, and it can be harder to get out, obviously, later. But it doesn't spread and cause cancer elsewhere in the body.
Melanoma is invasive, like, very, you know, I think once it gets into the system, it can rapidly, you know.
If it's spread. A millimetre, they had a kind of a phrase for you, didn't they?
0.8 mole deep. And if it gets to a mole, that's where they reckon the danger. Like, I was just on the verge of
your
spreading.
Your cancer was, just to say, like, 0.8 millimetres deep was your melanoma. If it gets to a millimetre, then you're in serious bother.
Yeah, I think that's where it starts spreading into lymph nodes and different things, you know, spreads out throughout the body.
So you were kind of
scary. I was very, very lucky.
And so they cut out quite a big hole in your ear, wasn't it? Because I saw your pictures on Instagram.
Yeah, you know what? They've done a brilliant job, to be fair. Like,
I can't see anything.
I notice it. Like, if you're looking thoroughly at my ear in general, you would notice. But they have done a good job now, to be fair. And they took a big hole out, and I thought, no, my ear's destroyed. Like, but then again, it's only an ear. You'd rather be alive than
For sure.
You know what I mean? And they've done the the skin graft, and now, like, most people don't even really recognise it, do they? Like,
they wouldn't see it. Especially because this is all this year.
Aye, this is only, like, April, May. You know, it's a couple of months ago. So they're still even a bit tender still, you know, this one especially, like, but this one I don't really...
They took the skin from one ear up.
They took
the good
skin graft from behind the left ear, and so they had to pull my ear back.
Yeah.
You know, obviously stitch it up, and then put the skin graft over here.
It's amazing what they can do.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And in terms of now treatment and what you have to look out for in the next while, what?
After every 3 months, I think for 2 years, I have to go get a checkup and get, you know, down to Roscommon, and every year after that for the rest of my life. So for 2 years, every 3 months. Okay. And every year for the rest of my life now I have to get checkups.
And that checkup is going to be full body?
Full body, just to check there's no more signs or, you know, any other wee moles or any wee freckles discoloured or any signs at all.
That's because on the construction site where you obviously got your cancer from the sun.
Yeah.
And there was a lot more of your body exposed to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Years. So and you're only 33, it's extraordinary.
33,
What's your attitude to the sun now?
Wear sunscreen. Wearing hats. Like, most of the time I'm wearing a bucket hat. Try and wear a bucket hat, if not a cap in general, just to cover my face.
Very good, yeah.
But sunscreen is the main one, like, and I never ever really put on sunscreen. Like, there's times we're up working on the roof, and just the thought of even going down off the roof to go to the van, you're like, oh, we'll get it at lunchtime or something. Like, that's hours before even, you know, burning in general. So yeah, I'm wearing sunscreen now.
Fellas are the worst at sunscreen.
Men are bad in general. Most things, like, you know, say going to the doctors or, you know, taking care of himself. That's what I mean. Like,
when you're in a building site now, would you not be getting still a bit few eye rolls going on? There's your man now going on about that.
No, you know what? A lot of people have actually, you know, before never even wore sunscreen. And it's only when you know someone, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's where it hits home and, like, right, this could happen to me. So a lot of people are actually putting on hats or covering their, you know, I've seen them rubbing their ears and stuff. Like, the ears are somewhere you never think. I've never ever heard of anyone getting.
I know, they get burnt on the ears. Often. You see very freckled ears going around the place.
I know.
So, you have a wee girl as well.
I have a wee girl, Brooke. She's 10.
So she'd be lathered, I'd say.
She's flat out on her. Especially her ears. She thinks, like, just the ears as well. But that's good. Like, they reckon from a young age to 18 is where the damage is done also. And then later years, that's where melanoma kicks in. Like, so
I read out only last week, I think, if you get burnt in those years, even just twice or three times, it massively increases your risk.
Yeah, it's crazy, so does. And it's like the number one cancer in Ireland now, so, you know, it's on the rise.
She's 10. What did you say? Brooke?
Aye, Brooke.
Was she worried about you?
She was very worried now. As I say, she drew a wee picture, and it's brilliant, like, to have, you know, and she loves drawing in general, but she wrote a wee letter for me saying my daddy has skin cancer and I'm worried about him. Thanks again. And she drew a big patch with a year, you know, with bandages and stuff. But it's nice to have to look back on, like.
Yeah.
You know, she was obviously scared. I didn't tell her too much at the start, but then as time went on, you can't really hide it. And kids these days know everything, like, you know, even though she's 10, but she knows about cancer and things. I suppose they think, like, it's the worst, I suppose. It is bad, obviously, but, you know, she thought, like, maybe I was dying, which could have been the case if I went further.
For sure.
Yeah, so it's scary for a 10-year-old to think, you know, stuff like that. So we tried to not tell her everything at the start. until I knew it was okay.
It's hard to know what to tell kids, isn't it? But she understands it now fully.
Oh, she knows now I'm okay. Yeah.
They're sponges for information. They want the information. So she's delighted her daddy's okay.
Yeah, she was asking all the time, how's the ears? Let me see the ears. She's...
If you'd got the bandages a few months later, they would be cracking Donald Trump jokes at you.
I know, that's I've got that a few times, to be fair.
Have you already? Yeah. That's what's like in the building side. I want to bring in Celine Daly from our studio in Sligo. Good morning to you, Celine.
Morning, Oliver. How are you?
Not so bad at all. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And you're a nurse. We'll explain exactly your title.
So I worked in dermatology for almost 18 years and I'm currently working another part of the HSC at the moment, but I'm honoured to be working with the HSC National Cancer Control Programme and their SunSmart message this year.
SunSmart.ie, that's what we're doing this morning. And you have seen all of us with our foolishness and our lack of SPF come in and out of clinics, I'm sure, over the years.
I sure have. And you know what? Hands up, guilty as charged. When I was a student nurse, I came from a family who loved to tan. So I'm quite dark. And again, we had all the bad habits, and I'm ashamed to say, including sunbeds. And it's only when I had the honour of starting working in dermatology in 2003 and 2004 that I seen my patients coming in, being diagnosed with skin cancer. And I seen the effect it had on them. Just Paul's story, they were so powerful. Mm. And on their loved ones as well, being so worried about them. And that was such an honourable experience, but also a frightening one for me. And immediately I became SunSmart, which is their factor 50 sunglasses, hats in the shade.
And I mean, it's so preventable, isn't it?
That's the wonderful news about skin cancer. Some cancers, we don't know what causes them, but we know that between 90 and 95% of all skin cancers are caused by overexposure to ultraviolet light. That's light from the sun itself and from sunbeds.
Now, you mentioned your kind of sallow skin, did you? That means you would tan easily.
Tan easily, again, dark hair, dark eyes, typically. But the majority of people living in Ireland are still what we call fair skin type, or Fitzpatrick's 1 type skin, which is blonde hair, lighter brown hair, green eyes, blue eyes. And if your skin has ever gone red in the sun, you're the type of person who could be at increased risk of skin cancer, and you must be SunSmart.
So are the kind of sallow skin people, are they safer?
They're a little safer, they're not completely safe. So even people with darker skin types should be SunSmart, because again, we have a cumulative UV exposure level, all of us. So even people with darker skin types can develop skin cancer.
And I'm just wondering, when you see someone in a really good colour after, you have a great colour on you after their holidays, are we sort of complimenting this sun damage that they have?
We do. And the other thing that we do in Ireland is we kind of laugh about sunburn. So remember, your farmer's tan.
Right.
If you go online on like social media platforms, you'll see people doing silly things like getting burnt and kind of having a bit of a laugh about it every single year. And I suppose the whole SunSmart message is so powerful because we know it started in Victoria in Australia in 1980, so almost 40 years ago. And they had a huge amount of skin cancer in Australia. And to combat this, they came up with the SunSmart message, which is slip on your clothes that cover your skin, up on your broad spectrum sunscreen, 30 or 50, slapping on your wide brim hat, just like Paul was saying, a bucket hat with the brim, and then seeking shade between 11 and 2, sliding on your sunglasses. And they really threw the kitchen sink at this. I mean, they had advertising on TV, they had literally loudspeakers in beach areas, and they had huge advertisement campaigns. Some of it was a little bit scary, but literally over a 40-year period, there was a huge seismic shift in the attitude of Australians towards sunburning, towards skin cancer recognition, and they just really ran with it. So just to give you a little story, a couple of my friends, we qualified in 2000, went to Australia, part of Sydney, working, were there 6 hours and got sunburnt. Typical Irish response to a hot country. They went into a pharmacy to seek some help, and the pharmacist wouldn't serve them. He actually threw them out of the pharmacy. He was disgusted with their behaviour. Yeah, absolutely, because they are just so sun smart. So in Australia, people don't drive a lot of comfortable cars. They don't use sunbeds. In Australia, if you work in ED, if a child appears sunburnt, they actually ring social workers, and there's mandatory hat wearing in
schools. That is actually a thing they do. That's mandatory. They will ring social protection.
Yes, because they see it as child abuse, because they're so aware. And just like Paul was saying, if you work on a building site in Australia, the first thing you have to do, along with your high-vis vest, is have your sunscreen and your hat.
Right.
So you won't see builders in Australia, and indeed in America or other hot countries in Europe, with no top on. And if you drive past a building site on any kind of given good day in the summer in Ireland, you will see people working, just like Paul said, on roofs, no top, no hat, no sunscreen.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And Paul, as he tells, he was working outside, and he's from Donegal. I mean, this wouldn't be known as the sunniest part of Ireland by any means, because yes, it's the cloudy days we feel there's no chance of of getting burnt.
And the fact, I suppose, the scientific fact is 80% of the rays come through cloud cover. And that's the problem. If we're going to Spain, Italy, France, you know, we're prepared to have our sunscreen. We know it's going to be hot. And that's the infrared. But the UV, the ultraviolet light that causes damage to skin cells, can be in the atmosphere on a day in Ireland that just feels like today, which is not particularly warm. Again, we have a changeable climate. So it can be cloudy. It's raining in Sligo this morning. It's actually brightening up now in the half an hour I'm in the studio. Yeah. So what we're asking people to do is to make a habit of being sun smart. And the way I find it's easiest to do it is to get the habit of using your sunscreen every day. So I tell my people to keep their sunscreen beside their toothpaste. So effectively, we are creatures of habit. We do the same thing typically every day. You get up, wash your face, brush your teeth. And once you brush your teeth, you put on your sunscreen. Right. Even if you're not going out, because that just gives you that habit of doing it. Again, like Paul said, he wears his hat now. So a hat covers your entire face, including your ears. So if you have your hat on during the summertime, when you go out, that's going to give you even more protection. People think sunscreens fail, and sunscreens tend not to fail. People fail sunscreens because sunscreen is only just one very important part, but only one part of the SunSmart message, which is using your clothes, covering up, using your hat, sunglasses, and seeking shade between 11 and 2. If we go to Spain on our holidays, at midday, none of the Spanish people are out. They're in having a little siesta, they're in having something to eat, yeah. They bring in their pets, and all you'll see in Spain at 12 midday is Irish and English people out having a little drink.
That's right.
Not covered. Whereas, again, we were referring to that earlier on, we don't typically have that darker skin type that maybe have more protection factor in the sun. Mm-hmm. We tend to be fairer and we're going to burn more easily. So we have to embrace the fact that, yes, we do have a fair skin type. It does need protecting, and that we need to do this every day between the 1st of March and the end of September, every year, even in Ireland.
It's interesting because when you mention how the locals go in the Mediterranean, along the Adriatic as well, you'll see them always swimming in the morning and the evening, never in the middle of the day when it's dangerous. Sunscreen, it's not cheap, is it, Celine?
It's not cheap. Actually, you can get it. Like, there's a broad range now. So again, 20, 30 years ago, you had gloopy, thick, white, almost pseudocreme textures. Now there are huge amounts of sunscreens available on the market from very cheap and very reasonable. And remember, sunscreen can prevent you from developing skin cancer. It's almost a medicinal product, and there's no better money you will ever spend than buying your sunscreen and applying it every single day. So talk to your pharmacist. If you have oily skin that develops acne, you can get a formulation that won't block your pores. If you've sensitive skin, you can get a formulation that won't cause any irritation, so it's fragrance free, for example. You may see sunscreens that claim to protect you all day against UV rays, but that's not exactly true. It may protect you all day against UVB but not UVA rays, and both can cause skin cancer. So it's important to reapply your product every single 2 hours. Also important to apply your product 20 minutes before you go outside of your house. So what people tend to do is jump in the car, go down to the beach, put the blanket out, set everything up, and then start applying their sunscreen.
That's right.
But
yeah.
Once you're out, you are out. And whether you are gardening, hanging your wash on your line, walking the kids to school, or you're on the beach, it's all sun exposure. It's all UV exposure. So again, reapply every single 2 hours, 20 minutes before you go out, and after swimming. So it may say it's waterproof, but typically if you're in the sea in Ireland, there's seaweed, there's sand, you're going to rub
your
skin after, and you will rub the sunscreen off. And again, not to apply in around your eyes. Use your sunglasses for that. People can tend to get a little irritated on their eyes if they use sunscreen on their eyelid.
And some of them would say they're instant protection, like I think P20, though, that you don't need to do the 5-15 minute wait before you hit into the sun. Do you believe those?
No, I would stick to the same rules of 20 minutes before you go out, just to give it a chance to activate, and then you can gather all of your people together in your house. So I have a non-compliant husband and 2 teenagers, so it's a little bit challenging, but I can still do it. So everyone before you go out, apply it to everyone's skin and give it a chance to work. And again, we often have guidelines like a couple of tablespoons or a couple of shot glasses of it, but it just depends on your body type. My husband's 6'7", so he's a lot bigger than your average type of person and will take a lot more sunscreen.
Yes,
and again, if your skin is drier, it's going to take maybe a little bit more as well. So don't be mean with it. We tend to be a little bit mean trying to save some money sometimes.
Paul, remember, I'm going to ask Paul here, what sunscreen do you use? Do you have a preference?
Factor 50.
Just look at the brand or anything. Celine, sorry to cut across for a second. There are a couple of questions coming in. We're going to come to them. We're going to have to take a break first of all. But we'll be back in a tick. Welcome back. Well, Paul Darby is still with us from Ballybuffet, and Celine Daly, who is the nurse with all that years of experience in dermatology. Celine, there are a couple of questions coming in. Please ask the Celine. Does sunscreen have an expiry date?
Yes, it does. So if you look at the back of your packaging, you'll see a little pot with the lid, and that's expiry date for skincare. Typically, it tends to be maybe 12 and 18 months if it's not opened. Remember, if you open your sunscreen and say if it's a tube you're putting your hand to it, it can become bacteria loaded or have a viral load in it as well. So what we would say is I would go through an absolute huge amount of sunscreen every year in my household because right. I use it every day. So you shouldn't really have a lot of sunscreen left over anyway, but if it's opened, I would throw it out within 6 months.
Okay, very good. Should we go without sunscreen for a short period to get vitamin D? As I heard, you can't get vitamin D through the sun cream, is this question.
Well, sunscreen is only a filter. So that's why they rebranded a few years ago. If you remember, you could get sunscreen 100. So the EU regulations mm-hmm. now says it's 50 plus is the highest sunscreen you can get. Right. And again, it's only a filter. If you just use sunscreen, again, you will still see pigment coming through, like freckling, for example.
Yeah.
So it is only a filter. Now, vitamin D is very important. And most people live in the Northern Hemisphere, as we do, have low levels of vitamin D anyway. If you expose your skin to the sun for 20 minutes, you'll probably burn if you're fair. So what I would say is be sun smart, keep your sunscreen on, talk to your GP about vitamin D, and you can take a supplement, remembering to get your vitamin D through your food as well. So like fish, eggs and milk.
Very good. Paul, you've to take your supplements.
Yeah, I'm meant to take one a day, vitamin D, like, but I think we're all meant to take it because we don't get the sun.
We are anyway. Yeah. Particularly during the winter months anyway. Why are sunbeds not banned in Ireland, given their actual design is to cause skin damage? Shouldn't they be? Is that question? It's an eternal one. It's amazing we still have sunbeds in Ireland, isn't it?
It is. And Micheál Martin, actually, which is a huge hero of mine because he bought in the smoking ban. So he mentioned it all last week that he is considering it. Now, it's not that easy. I talked about the Australian model of SunSmart, and they are hugely SunSmart out there. So they banned sunbeds in Victoria and Australia in 2018, but it was just a no-brainer because they don't use them effectively. Nobody was using them.
Yeah.
And they're so sunsmart they didn't want to use them. So again, you can vote with your feet. If you're listening to this and you are using a sunbed, just know that you're putting yourself at increased risk of developing skin cancer. We know about 40% of people in Ireland, through research done down in Cork, which was published recently, they use sunbeds. And we know that any use... So sunbeds are to skin cancer as smoking is to lung cancer. There are now more cases of skin cancer due to sunbed use than there are of lung cancer due to smoking. They shouldn't be used by anybody, particularly people under age 18, because any use under the age of 18 increases the risk of developing skin cancer by 70%.
That's it. Listen, Celine Daly, thank you so much for that. And I also want to mention the other campaigns people are looking to have VAT dropped from sun cream, which would make it cheaper. Someone's already texting and saying Australia helicoptered free sunscreen onto the beaches over there. We need to help people to buy sunscreen because it's expensive. Paul, the last word to you, I suppose. You're back working now, all good?
Back working. I was off for maybe a month after it.
Yeah, so just a month, okay.
I took a bit, considering
how serious it was.
Well, I'm self-employed, so...
Yeah, you have to get back.
You know what I mean? You have to get back at it. Yeah.
But, no sick pay for you.
No sick pay. So, I just got back at it. It took, like, the 7 weeks. Now you couldn't, like, sweat or get the bandages wet and stuff like that. Even shirring, you couldn't even... It was from the neck down, so...
That's right, yeah, okay.
Things were torture, but...
You were treated through the public system?
Yeah.
Through the public system, so it can be done, because sometimes it can be difficult, dermatology.
Yeah.
And so on. And there was a message from someone saying it's not wholly negative. Listening this morning, I think it's important to tell listeners that with early treatment, all can be good. I had malignant melanoma over 20 years ago, got the surgery, skin graft, 5 years of monitoring. I now use SPF 50 sunscreen every day. Crucially important, but my message is with early intervention, it can all be well, says Colm. Thank you for that, Colm. And Paul Darby, thanks a million and good luck.
Thank you.
We should take one more break before we go.
From the North, Tech Studio, followed by your message to 80889.